Welcome back into the CC Podcast, everybody. It is the morning or early afternoon, I guess, of Friday, November 10th. Mike Rutherford in Louisville, Kentucky. Dan Sinard on the side of a road, I believe, somewhere in northern Kentucky. It doesn't matter, though, because the Louisville Cardinals were victorious last night in a game where it looked pretty dicey for most of the evening. We're going to talk about this. We said we'd do it. We said we'd find time. Reaction the day after. Two pods, 2 days. It's all happening here on the CC Podcast. Dan, how are you?
React to me. Someone says that in like a it used to be Keith Olbermann. I would say that on Sports Center with Dan Patrick. Anyways, I don't know. I'm still hungover, I guess.
The glow game of stars for the podcast.
Yeah, we got to talk about the glow festivities, but no, very happy to get a win. I was last night, very tense, a lot of tense moments. But hey, we're 9-1, still control our own destiny for the ACC championship. And look, things are looking good on that front, but there's definitely some things we got to clean up personally.
Yeah, real quickly, just because I think there are some, there are questions about Louisville and the conference championship game and what needs to happen now. It's, like, Louisville did not lock up a spot in the conference championship last night, but they came pretty damn close. Like, essentially, they need just one of four things to happen. Like, their percentage chance of going to Charlotte now is like 98%. Basically, North Carolina's got three games left. If they lose any of those, Louisville's in. If Louisville beats Miami, of course, Louisville's in. If the Virginia Tech Boston College winner loses a game and Georgia Tech loses to Clemson in Syracuse or Syracuse, Louisville's in. If VT wins out and Georgia Tech beats Clemson and Syracuse, Louisville's in. So it's not just like if we beat Miami, we're in. Obviously, that's the most easy scenario and the one that we hope happens. But even if Louisville loses the Miami game, it is far, far more likely than not that the Cards are going to go to Charlotte and they're going to play Florida State. And I saw that the early line on that game from BetOnline is Florida State -7.5. So, obviously, still work to be done. Two huge games. People are going to be very, very excited for Kentucky. I can already feel Kentucky fans after watching last night's game. Like, they think they're going to beat us. They think it's going to be another year where we're overrated because of our conference, and they're going to show us out. Like, we've got work to do, but still, it feels good to be pretty much locked in to Charlotte in the conference championship game after getting that win last night. Because for a while there, I was like, it's all slipping away. Like, everything's slipping away. The dream season's gone. I'm going to have a bad taste in my mouth. And thankfully, it's still very much on the table, Dan.
No doubt. Just from the time we lost the coin toss, there was just something about the game that just felt off to me. You know, it was the first time I'd seen our defense back on their heels in like 3 weeks. You know, Jack, he was asked to do a little bit more and had a very up and down game, to say the least. So, I mean, you just want to get out of there with a win. That's really all you want to do. And some guy just peeked in my car while I'm sitting here. Anyways, hey, buddy. So, yeah, very relieved. I'm interested to see. I mean, I think we're going to approach Miami just like we would any other week. I don't think, like, you know, it's going to be like, hey, we should rest these guys just in case we already have the ACC title locked up or anything like that. So I think we'll approach it normally. But, yeah, it's nice having all those scenarios you laid out. It seems very realistic that it's actually going to happen. But, shit, I still want to beat Miami. Like, I can't stand Miami. I want to go down there and beat them. And then, obviously – like, I think Jeff, like, people be like, oh my gosh, if we got the ACC championship the next week, is he gonna like put all his eggs in the Kentucky basket? Of course he is. Like, I think he was brought here to do just that. So I don't think there's gonna be any sort of rest at all. I think we're gonna try to get guys healthy during the week. This is a nice little extra 2 day break that's much needed, I think, for this team. But I'm looking forward to see kind of how we come out of this moving forward.
I said I was going to start scoreboard watching if we won this game. I think we've all sort of pumped the brakes on the playoff talk after the way the team played last night. I'm pumping the brakes right now, less than 24 hours after the game. I can't wait till tomorrow afternoon when I'm like, come on, Utah! Like,
Yeah, no. Oh, no. I mean,
get them horned frogs. Let's go.
College football, like, being in the middle of it, like this scenario that we're in, like, and we don't get to do it often. Like, why? We should enjoy it for, like who knows? I mean, we talk about this all the time. The year we made the Orange Bowl, when the team was running on the field, we were going crazy. We're like, we're going to be back here every year. Yeah. And, like, you know, of course, that never – I mean, we did go to the Sugar Bowl, like, 5-6 years later. But, you know, you just never know when you're going to be back here. So, yeah, I'm going to soak it. I'm going to scoreboard watch. I'm going to act like we still have a chance for the playoff and just have fun with it.
I mean, you think about it now, this team is 9-1 now for the first time since 2016. And realistically, there are 4 games they could have lost that they won. I mean, if you think about certainly Georgia Tech and Indiana, NC State, and then last night. And, like, you know, it's not all luck for sure. That I think there is something to be said for finding ways to win games and having the right staff and the right group of players in those situations. But in all likelihood, the law of averages says that moving forward, if you're in those same situations, you're going to lose a few of those games.
Right.
So we could have an even better team next year, and maybe the ball just doesn't bounce our way late in a close game against a good team. And, you know, we're not 9-1, and we're not in the top 11 of the CFP rankings, and we're not chasing a conference championship game down. So I think your point is a good one. Just we deserve to soak this up, especially after the last several years. And I hope that Louisville fans, even though the team didn't look great last night, are going to do that in the days ahead. I think they will. I think that, like, from what I gather, yes, there are concerns about the way the team played, but for the most part, the feeling this morning was still, like, just pure joy. Just, like, there's something to be said for kind of giving up on a game, which, hand up, I thought, like, we're done in the fourth quarter, and then finding a way to win that game. Like, it almost feels better than a blowout win where your team just romps. I guess let's start at the beginning. I want to give a quick shout out to the podcast listeners who send in the questions. The guy who always makes the bets for the other team.
Yeah.
He made sure to say that, you know, I bet Virginia money line. I bet Virginia against the spread. I'm not broke yet, but I'm still doing my thing. The Guinness drinker from yesterday's episode sent us a picture of him with the Guinness at the bar where he was watching the game. All the podcast heroes were really stepping up. A guy DM'd me, who's a big podcast listener, saying he put the bird mask on when we went down 24-17, didn't take it off for the rest of the game. You guys all got the job done. 9-1 belongs to all of you. Well done. Dan, you were at the game. I guess just start with the general, your general game day experience. Glow game sounds like kind of a bust.
Yeah, not enough glowing, I would say. In fact, not really any glowing. They played, like, the hype video from, like, the social media team, which was awesome. That had Brian Hudson, like, before they did the entrance, and then after that, not a whole lot. Like, I'm like, hey, if we're gonna, I mean, like, whatever. I'm not on the marketing team. I'm sure a lot of this costs money, but if we're gonna do this, maybe let's lean into it next time, like free glow sticks handed out or something, but whatever.
I saw one guy who was just like, we look like the biggest fucking idiots just sitting here with like 9,000 glow sticks and yeah. the lights brighter than they've ever been in my entire life, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
I think that they tried. So I went back and looked, because on their initial announcement over the summer, when they announced like the theme games, they said the Cards will debut a special themed uniform. Get ready for fun, glow-in-the-dark, and LED light effects throughout the game. And then I noticed this week that there was no hyping up of any LED light effects. Whenever they announced, like, the promotions and what's going to happen with the game, it was all like, they're wearing light-up uniforms, the fans are going to get glow sticks, and we're going to have glow-in-the-dark cups at certain concession stands. I think they probably tried at some point, and then, like, the game got closer, and they're like, oh, shit, like, we can't actually deliver on this. We can't do any of these light effects. But my worst fears about the glow game came true. It was definitely not, it sounds like, not a glowing experience.
I compare it. I had a high school job where me and another guy cut grass, and we called ourselves Lawnade. You got a free complimentary glass of lemonade with every cut. And we, like, did it to the first person, and then, like, we show up to the next one. We're like, yeah, we, like, ran out. We don't have any lemonade. You just get your grass cut. So, but no, I mean, in general, I mean, it was a very tense game. Like, honestly, the way I was talking around in the pod, I was like, this is kind of unfolding the way I thought it would. I think Jeff got a little conservative there in the first half. Like, Virginia was definitely keying on the run. And I was talking to my dad and my brother about this. Like, and I know, hey, like, Jack was up and down last night. And I said this before he even threw that god-awful interception. But I was like, man, if we're going to go anywhere, like, if we're going to do anything special, like, I know, like, we have a good running game and we got to run the ball, but, like, at some point, we're going to have to let Jack, like, rip it a little bit. And, yes, he made a couple, you know, not-so-great throws. The one was god-awful, but he didn't get much help either. I mean, Jaden Thompson, huge drop. That was a big momentum one. Joey Gatewood had one go through his hands. Brock, again, was shaky. So, I mean, I think we could have had a little bit better stranglehold on the game kind of going to that fourth quarter. But it was – I was happy – that how we got back in it was that long bomb to Amari Huggins-Bruce. Like, I thought that's huge going forward for Jack, that he could just air it out. And so, I don't know. Like, there's stuff to work on. You would like Jack to be more consistent. But, again, he's quarterbacking a 9-1 team. You can't nitpick. I think he did fine. The running game, that was the first time all year. It seemed it got bottled up a little bit, but we definitely did – bust some, obviously, the Guerrero run at the end. So, stuff to take away that we can work on. We got extra days, but it was very tense throughout the entire game.
I was actually fine going into the game, because I agree with you. There's going to be a game at some point remaining in the season where Jack Plummer's going to win it for you, or he's going to lose it for you, and the ball kind of just rests on his arm. And maybe that was last night, if you want to make
it could have been
that call. But I was very much in favor of the KISS game plan going into last night, the keep it simple, stupid, because I didn't think we were going to need to do anything really spectacular against Virginia. And for a while there, it looked like we weren't. Like, Virginia was definitely selling out to stop the run, and they were doing a good job, and we weren't moving the ball very effectively. The passing game was very vanilla. And when it was 14-0, should have been 17-0, I was fine with, like, okay, let's just, you know, however we have to get a victory, we'll pull out some more stops for Miami, but we need to rest, get healthy, come up with a new game plan. Let's just win this thing like 21-7 or whatever we need to do. And they threw it a little bit more than I would have liked at that point. And Plummer made a huge mistake when, like, I texted Trevor Kelce, who I do the radio show with. I was like, this feels like the moment where Jack turns the ball over. Like it feels like in this moment, he's been here before, and he this feels like the classic Plummer turnover possession. And sure enough, the very first play, he makes just an inexplicably bad pass. But I like the fact that, because, I mean, man, when it gets to 24-17, or I mean, I guess even before that, when it was like 21-14, and it's the fourth quarter, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, Plummer's playing with very little confidence at this point. You know, he is the three and out right after the pick, and people are booing, and which should not happen.
Yeah, apparently Paul Rogers called Rogers that.
Called up the nerds who were booing. Although I really don't think it was – I can't say what they were booing.
They weren't. I don't think they were booing him. I think it was more like a, you know, those like pissed off murmurs, like, yeah, you know, and that's kind of what it was.
I think it was more about like a little bit of the play calling and the frustration, yeah, probably a little bit with Jack too. But I think it was just it was a myriad of things. But it still shouldn't happen. We're 8-1 for fuck's sake at that point. But like we have a quarterback with little confidence at that point. We have a defense that looks kind of confused for the first time in a month. And we have a kicker who, I mean, Brock, talk to us, bud. Like, what's going on here? Like, do we need to hash some stuff out? Your friends at the podcast want to help you.
How bad was the first miss? You know, when you're at the game, I can't even tell. Like, was it like way left, or was it like, did it barely miss, or what?
It wasn't way left, but it was he missed it pretty easily. There was no question about it. He also missed it right before the fumbled snap when they had the offside penalty, or the false start penalty. But like, I'm looking at all these things and I'm like, you know, we're fucked. Like we're going to lose this game. The conference championship now is very much in doubt. Maybe we finish 8-4. Like, this could wind up being a disastrous end to the season. And for them to win a game like that, like, I haven't had that feeling with football in a long time where I've just sort of given up on a game and been like, it's going to take a insane sequence of events for us to win this thing, and then they've gotten it done. It's been a long, long time, because for all his positive attributes, Bobby Petrino was not a great come from behind coach. Like, no. He, like, we didn't have a ton of we're down big, things are looking bad, we need to make some in-game adjustments type victories with him. And Scott Satterfield was mostly the same way. So it was just fantastic to see, like you said, Plummer shake that off. He made some really good throws before the deep throw to Amari Huggins Bruce, and then the defense to get the stop when they needed it. And then, my God, Isaac Garendo, well, do whatever you want, buddy. Like, the city is yours. You can do whatever you want on to all weekend. He's been fantastic for us, and to get that victory was just tremendous. Now, Virginia fans, both last night and today, and some Virginia Tech fans and Boston College fans who were rooting for us to lose so they had a shot to play in the conference championship, have been very vocal about the officiating. There's a whole – the general sense is an obvious one of, well, the ACC wants a conference championship game that features a top five Florida State team and potentially a top 10 Louisville team, or at least a ranked Louisville team. They don't want Florida State versus a unranked, 9-3 or 8-4 Louisville team that doesn't have national interest. And I get that. I get that. I do think that they're overblowing it a little bit. Having said that, if we were on the other end, I would probably be saying a lot of the same stuff. Like the last call, I don't know how well you could see it from the game. The last play of the game for them, like Storm Duck, it was absolutely pass interference. They didn't call it. Them picking up some personal foul calls against us was also a little bit weird. I'm not saying the refs handed us this game, but it did feel nice to kind of be on the other side for once, where everybody else is pissed off about the calls, and we're like, yeah, maybe we got one or two here or there.
100% we got a whistle. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. I'm not going to sit here and say we didn't. But you know what? I don't fucking care. You know what? Like you said,
could not care less.
We're on the other side of that. Like, I mean, oh my God, that's happened to us so many times, and to actually like have some stuff go our way for once, like, hey, it feels pretty good. That long ball to Jamari that they called pass interference on, like, geez, yeah. I couldn't. Again, when you're at the game, you can't really tell a whole lot. I will say, when the guy threw his flag for Jalen Alderman's personal foul, I like collapsed in my seat. Like, I was like, this is the end. Like, I didn't see, like, did the other guy push him first, or like, I don't know why
they never showed the play, so I have no idea what happened.
Gotcha. Okay. But yeah, I mean, the refs were definitely, they were throwing their flags last night for sure. But yeah, I was very happy on that last one that they swallowed their way. You can always tell by the opposing coach's reaction, like if it's actually a penalty or not. I mean, their bench was just going apeshit at this ref. So I figured it probably was some sort of a hold or pass interference, but not going to apologize. Hey, that's the schedule worked out to where we have a ton of home games this year. That's what's nice about it. So, however, like, you know, we can't really, if stuff starts to go against us at Miami, it's gonna suck. We'll bitch about it, but then I'm just gonna try to, calm myself down and think about what happened this week.
Yeah, I mean, it was what it was. The analysts didn't help either, because they were, if you were watching the game on TV, like, they were just fucking up everything. They're like, that was an obvious face mask on Storm Duck, and they call the face mask on the Virginia player, and you look at the replay, and maybe it wasn't, I thought it was the right call, but like, maybe you wouldn't call the Virginia face mask or just call nothing. But like, then they show Storm Duck, obviously it comes nowhere close to grabbing the face mask. Just is it a tackle around the collar. Like, it was like, they kept doing stuff like that, where it's like, I think that it looked like Jalen Alderman committed an obvious face mask, and it wasn't a face mask. So Virginia fans, I think, were even more infuriated than they would have been otherwise watching the game get called. Yeah. I mean, we definitely got a friendly whistle, and I'm fine with that. Like you said, I don't feel bad about it at all. Like, we still, like, they still had chances to stop us on defense and win the game, and they didn't. Like, the Amari Huggins Bruce play, I think we took advantage of the fact that they had another cornerback who had just gone out of the game, and then the Garendo play, like, we hit on big plays when we needed to.
I mean, the Jack Plummer throw, I mean, we all know, we all saw it was awful. All right, so that's one. I don't want to say it's a fluke touchdown, but it's one that's like, hey, like, our guy just had a brain cramp, and there's seven for you. And then obvious, like, the scary injury, what results in a fumble, and the guy picks it up and runs it in, so there's another seven. So, like, was it very tense, and did we have to come back? Like, of course we did. But at the same time, it's like, gosh, it's almost like we handed you guys, you know, 14 free points there. So I don't know. It is what it is.
No, it's a good point. I mean, I think that we've kind of all glossed over that because they did move the ball effectively against us, which was a little bit jarring to see. But they do get a pick six that's a gift. They do get the you know, Malik Washington picks up a fumble that bounces right to him. That's a gift. We miss a field goal. We fumble a field goal snap. Like, we could have easily been ahead by 24 at halftime, and we weren't. And so, you know, we put ourselves in that position as well, and we had to come back, and I'm glad we did. For Virginia, first of all, you know, very, very happy to hear that Paris Jones is doing better.
Yes.
U of L Hospital. They announced that last night that he had movement in his arms and legs, which is fantastic because that was terrifying when it happened. And really, like, not a dirty play. Cameron Kelly just was coming up to make a huge hit. Jones lowers his helmet, and it winds up being like an incidental helmet-to-helmet type deal. But, you know, when they said he wasn't moving but his eyes were open, I was like, fuck, that's terrible. Like, this is going to be awful. It's going to definitely be something that Virginia does not need to deal with after everything that they went through last year. But it sounds like it's good news today, which is awesome. And U of L Hospital is the best, so he's in good hands there. A quick couple of things on Virginia. One, Tony Calandri is going to be a problem.
Like, oh my God. Like, he was so, I was like, I have a friend back home that's a Virginia fan. I was like, why didn't you tell me about this kid? This kid looks great.
Okay, that's the guy that I told to suck it earlier this season. And he almost had bragging rights over the pot.
Yeah. I mean, not only, you know, he threw the ball well, but my God, I mean, like, I felt like we were spying him on defense, and we still couldn't, like, on those, you know, scramble plays, he looked big, he looked strong. Like, the one, he was running so hard that he literally flipped over, like, the siding there when he ran out of bounds. Like, he was a problem. And then Malik Washington was, I mean, he was all what he was cracked up to be. Like, that one where he beat Quincy Riley and Calandria put it, like, right on him, and he made the unbelievable diving catch. I was like, all right, well, this kid's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted somebody in our NIL department to go over to their sideline at some point to Calandria and be like, do you like horse racing?
No, 100%. I was very impressed.
How do you feel about Tom Drexler endorsements, plumbing company endorsements? We have some openings.
Let me ask you this. And, like, I know it's not that sexy, but has, like, Virginia become kind of our little, like, mini conference rival?
Well, I mean, I was talking about this yesterday. Like, we play them every year because we walked into Maryland slot and they were their cross divisional rival, and we've played a ton of close games. Like, the series is 7-5 all time, and I think that 7 of those games since we joined the ACC alone have been one score games, and a ton of them have been like 3 points and last second field goals and all this stuff. We had a fight with them the very first time we played them down there in Charlottesville. James Quick, remember that? Got into it at the end of the first half. And
yeah,
we've had all this stuff, but I still feel like neither side gives a fuck about the other one. Like
yeah,
it's a good rival in terms of the games, but like, there's no real bad blood there.
That's a good way to describe it. Cause same here, like, you know, I have no ill will towards their fans. Who knows how they feel towards us, but like, the games, like you said, have been, I mean, I'm like thinking off 4 off the top of my, like, the James Quick drop punt, the Lamar to, who was it? Staple? Who caught the one in the end
Jalen
zone?
Jalen Smith.
Yeah, Jalen Smith. You know, we had the Brandon Armstrong comeback, and now this game, I'm like, Jesus, like, it's the Wild West every time we play these guys. So I'm not going to talk about basketball. But anyways, yeah, it's been quite the series with them since we joined the ACC.
Yeah, I think it might be a better overall run. Like, we could have kind of like a Syracuse thing going with them if we could actually beat them in basketball every now and then.
Because, yeah.
Like, that's like, if there is bad blood, it's us towards them in basketball because they just beat us every year. So, like, that's the only, like, part of the rivalry that I think is kind of visceral. And both are, you know, they've been really good at basketball since we've been in the conference. We had been really good until the last few years. So it has the makings of potential, but like, I still think the fan bases just don't really care that much about each other. Yeah. So any parting thought, who do we need to give shout outs here? Jawar Jordan played through the pain a little bit. I think that, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I feel like Jawar is looking a step or two slower these last.
Oh yeah.
Games.
I mean, he gets caught in the first half, like beginning of the year, like he's gone. He houses that. So, I respect the fact that he's playing through it. I mean, shit, he had 95 yards, so
yeah,
nothing to sneeze at. But it's nice that, you know, hey, like, and like even Jamari, he didn't play. I mean, he played, but he definitely took a lot of snaps off. So I think it's good that we got other guys' experience. But gosh, it's football. I mean, everyone gets nicked up. There's no excuses, but you hope going into these last three, especially two games, hopefully here, that Jamari is as close to his full health as possible, and that Jordan is, you know, same thing, because those are two absolutely vital parts. But I feel like we've kind of stayed away on defense from big injuries, knock on wood. So that part's been good, but we do need Jarvis Brownlee back.
Yeah, having Jarvis back would be nice. I mean, the biggest injury we've had defensively was, I guess, losing MJ Griffin before the year even started. But, I mean, I think that Juwar definitely looks, to me, a step or two slower the last couple weeks, and hopefully having a week and a half, or at least a week and a couple of days to rest, will get him a little bit of that pep back. I thought the offensive line, for the most part, was okay. Like they didn't dominate the way that I thought they were going to, which is a little bit surprising because you had the same five guys in there that you had last week against Virginia Tech, which was a better defensive front that you just ran all over. I think that Devin Neal deserves a shout out, steps up and makes another huge play. He's a ball hawk. He just seems to find the ball. I thought that, Ashton Gelati, again, was tremendous. Had two sacks, was in the backfield all night. He's terrific. Jermaine Lole, I think you're seeing him make an impact now that he's healthy. Like, he's setting the tone a lot in the middle. He got outside and made a great play on what looked like it was going to be a nice gain for Virginia to the weak sideline. I thought he was great. And then I feel like, who am I forgetting? There's one guy.
The block punt.
The block punt. D'Angelo Hutchinson blocks the punt. Jimmy Callaway catches it. Like, that was actually like a really cool moment. Just because, like,
it was like awesome.
Perfectly synchronized too. It just, there was something aesthetically pleasing about it. Like, it just got blocked straight up, comes down right in his arms. I saw a bunch of people take videos of it. Like there was a cool crowd reaction. I took video of the mascot reaction, and ESPN used it. Was cool great. Last night. That was fun. So it was just all of that stuff was very good. A lot of guys played really well, really well in that game. But yeah, I think that there are clearly some things that need to get fixed. And I think some rest is going to do this team well moving forward.
No, 100%. I think you nailed it on the head. Like, I am very much happy that the kids, you know, I don't know what they're going to do practice wise, but I'm sure Jeff, his first concern is making sure that we're getting these guys healthy and, you know, in the right headspace to head down to Miami. But knowing Jeff, not that, I mean, this is any coach, but like, I have a feeling he really wants these next two games. Like, sure. I think like he is just chomping at the bit. And I'm not saying that like we kept last night vanilla or like did any sort of that, but you know, I expect him to lay all his cards on the table, you know, at Miami. And then obviously when Kentucky comes to town.
And I know you mentioned that the pass that went off his hands, but also we got to give a shout out to the Joey Gatewood Renaissance, finding the end zone for the second time. Yep. I love that they're getting him more involved. He is the bigger, more athletic tight end that they can use more in the passing game. So
Amari Huggins, Bruce, I mean,
HB, dude,
I love it because like he could easily, I mean, he could be the one receiver that has like a right to be kind of pissed off. Cause like, he probably, I'm guessing, thought maybe he would have a little bit of a larger role going into the year. But, I mean, guy stays ready. Dude, when that play went off, I, like, literally nudged my brother the second Amari broke. I was like, oh, dude, he's going to be open by 30 yards. And, like, he just was streaking dead down the middle. So, great play call there. And he was open for so long that, like, his mouthpiece was, like, I was, like, his mouthpiece is, like, bouncing in his vision. I got a little
nervous. I was terrified of the mouthpiece making him drop the pass. So, yeah. At this point, we had, like, last night, we had Mary was just getting home from her work trip, which, thank God, she's home now. But so it was that area in between our babysitter had just left, and Mary was, like, coming home from the airport. And so I was all by myself watching this. And I'm like, don't wake the kids. Don't wake the kids up. But, like, while the pass is in the air, I mean, you see him wide open. I stand up, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, please catch it. Please catch it. And I see his mouthpiece. I have the same fucking thought. I'm like, Put your mouthpiece in your mouth. Oh my god! Like I almost lost. I'm like, he's gonna drop this because of that fucking mouthpiece. Thank God he didn't, because that was awesome. Yeah. But yeah. If you listen to the replay of that game, the clip that's out there online, if you listen closely, you can hear Dan Mullen when he drops back. He says under his breath, he goes touchdown. Like he sees it happen, and thank God Jack saw it as well and got the ball there. Yeah, I think you're totally right too about AHB being the one guy that maybe could have a reasonable complaint. And look, if his family members' comments on a lot of my posts are any indication, I think there is some frustration amongst the Huggins Bruce family with the way that he has been used this season or has not been used. So it was good to see him get open. The one thing that did kind of worry me a little bit early in the game was when Plummer was missing guys, I saw a lot of wide receivers kind of like they were acting frustrated. Like, they thought they were open. They come back to the huddle, sort of like shaking their heads, or if the ball was underthrown, they were kind of reacting. And I'm like, we can't do that, guys. Like, we need to hype everybody up. Like, it's like that's not going to change. If you feel like the ball just should have been there earlier, like whining about it is not going to change anything. Like, I think Jack Plummer's a guy that needs everybody kind of hyping him up, psyching him up, and building his confidence. And hopefully the way that he played those last two drives is going to be a nice little confidence booster for him, because he was
This is what I'll say about Jack, and this isn't a shot or anything, because when you're in the stands, I can't see up close. I will say, like, when Garendo broke that run, and, like, Jack is a pretty even keel guy. He doesn't get too high or too low. But when Garendo broke that run, like, I was looking back for Jack. I thought maybe he'd be running down to celebrate. Like, dude, he was, like, walking off, like, shoulders slumped. I was like, Jesus, like, show a little excitement here, bud. But it could have just been, I don't know. Like, I couldn't see his facial reaction or anything like that. I pointed out to my brother. I thought it was a little weird, but whatever. I mean, he's the quarterback. Like, unfortunately and fortunately, like, win or lose, like, there's going to be a lot of eyes on everything that he does. But a lot of the time, it's, you know, not fair. Sure. But, you know, hey, he's quarterbacking the number 11 team right now, possibly moving up to number 10 or number 9, depending on what happens this week. So, you know, I think it would serve me well and the entire fan base just be like, hey, fuck it. We got, you know, two big games left, probably the ACC title game, and then, like, probably a nice – bowl. Like, let's just get behind Jack and, like, give him all support and make sure that, you know, he feels loved here.
I mean, the rest of the season is going to be insane. I mean, we've got Miami next week and a team that is wildly talented and can definitely beat us in a noon game on the road. The Kentucky game is going to be as hyped up and as tense as any Kentucky game that I think we've had in a long time. Then, in all likelihood, the conference championship game against FSU. And then, like you said, the biggest bowl game that we've played in probably a decade, even if it's not a New Year's Six game, it's going to be a big deal. So, I mean, it's like, Jack, we need you. You know, get that confidence. Like, you're doing well. We need guys to get healthy. This is going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun over the next month and change. And like, I'm just so excited, because I was getting sad yesterday looking at the schedule and being like, man, we only have two games left after this. And then you're like, well, we get kind of a bonus game this year with the conference championship game, which will be one of the biggest games we've ever played in as a program, and then a big-time bowl game to look forward to, which we haven't really had in a while. Like, the fun is far from over, is the point. We still have plenty of time with the Brom squad. I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, football in December, like we haven't played a conference championship game ever. We've never had that first weekend of December to look forward to watching the
college play. Can you imagine waking up to game day on December 3rd, and it's like – Alabama versus whoever's on the other side of SEC.
Georgia.
It's like, yeah, Georgia. Oregon versus Washington. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, this is what we've been praying. This, like, when we joined the conference, you know, under Tom George, this was, like, the exact moment I think we, like, dreamed of. Like, could you imagine playing, like, the ACC title game? I know, like, I don't know. Like, I know, like, the Orange Bowl or wherever we go is going to be awesome. But, like, to me – like, sometimes those, like, non-playoff bowls, like, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. They can get a little watered down just based on who goes to the NFL. Like, this, I mean, we have, like you said, an unbelievable stretch coming up that's going to be one of the probably most exciting 3 weeks that we've had as a football program and God knows how long. So, if you're a fan, you know, if you can make a road trip or get to the game, do it. But make sure you soak up every single second of it.
I'm bricked up. Dan's bricked up. You're bricked up. We're all going to be bricked up for a solid month and a half. Let's just
Chris Brickley it. Was at the game last night.
He was
bricked up. Yeah,
Brick so. Was bricked up. It's all happening. I want to give a quick shout out. Ryan Smith on Twitter he wanted to make sure that we mentioned this on the podcast. He said, not a question, just a shout out for the pod. There was a guy in section 241 with a metal prosthetic leg who was beating the shit out of it on the railing to make noise at the end of the game. Shouts to that guy. That guy had to get a shout out.
I absolutely love that. All right. This is like a mini day in the dumps that happened last night.
Okay.
All right. So like, it was a little colder than I thought. I wore a black hoodie. So I stand the entire game. I just do. If you hate me, I'm sorry. I'm a stander. I don't like to sit. I feel weird when I sit. You know, but like when things got tense, not only like do I tense up, I don't really cheer a lot. Like, but I like kind of just, I was cold and I was just a little bit of a statue, but I was like super zoomed in on the game. But I hear something like four rows behind, like, I don't know if it was four rows or two rows or what. This guy was like, yeah, we got the grim fucking Reaper up here. Like, and I was like, okay, the old Dan would turn around and like give like the biggest fucking look ever. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep standing here and being the Grim Reaper. Like, I don't care. It's like, eventually I got back into it. But like, if that guy, I doubt he's, maybe he is a listener to the pod, but if that was you, that was me. So,
you're talking anyway. To Dan, the Dan.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. He's like, we have the Grim fucking Reaper standing up here. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
That's great. I know you got to talk to Ty Spaulding of Rivals. He sent me a message.
Oh, yeah, that
saying,
was awesome. By the way, like, he was awesome. The alley itself, very cool place to go before a game.
Yeah.
They've really done that up right. So, definitely not going to be my last time going there.
Yeah, he called it, he said, I met Dan from the podcast, called it a bucket list item, which made me terribly sad for both of you.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like, bud, you gotta get out more.
But nice to see some pod magic there at the stadium last night. It was great. I mean, I don't know, just I feel like the vibes were restored. It had a chance to be a very, very sad Friday and in turn a very sad weekend, and instead I feel like we're all glowing a little bit, not from the glow game, but from the win. That's all that matters.
We'll work on the themes. I mean, if we would have lost, like, the glow game would have gone down in infamy, but I'm glad that it's like, all right, like, we won. We can adjust for next year.
A lot of people are saying that I sent a tweet out saying that I hated the glow game, that I was never in favor of the glow game. I don't remember doing that. If it happened, I blacked out. It wasn't me. I never wavered on the glow game. Never had an issue whatsoever. I had hundreds of people call me, congratulate me about how I've never wavered in the glow game. Have we talked about how that's my new favorite thing that Kenny Payne does is when he at press conferences, he's done this like four or five times now. He claims that he's gotten hundreds of calls about something. And it's always something super minor. Like, he did it after the Western Kentucky game after we won last year. He was like, everybody in my phone book called me. And I was like, Jesus Christ, Kenny, everybody in your phone book. And then a couple weeks ago, it was like before the press conference, he was like, after one of the exhibition games, he was like, I've had hundreds of people calling me to talk about how Dennis Evans, like, he looks so much better than when they first saw him. I'm like, hundreds of people are calling you just to say that? That seems a little bit like, I don't get hundreds of calls about anything.
Yeah. My mom calls me. That's about it. Like, I get calls from my mother. So
he's just like, Kenny, can we stop talking on the phone and do a little coaching? I think I figured out our problem here. You're answering phone calls at all hours of the day. In the same press conference, he said that he'd gotten hundreds of calls about Sky Clark, either from people that were saying, hey, I'm so happy you've got him, or from people who wanted to play with him. And I was like, Kenny, for the love of God, let some of these people come play with him. We need some players, bud.
It's like job applicant, secretary for basketball operations, answering Kenny's hundreds of calls that he gets a day.
I love the hyperbole. I mean, Rick Pitino would do stuff like that a little bit all the time, but just the hundreds of calls, it's so funny. It reminds me of like the influencers on Instagram where they're like, a lot of you guys have been asking me, you know, where I got this shirt. I'm like, nobody asked you that. You just want to talk about the shirt. Like, please stop. A lot of you have been asking what my makeup routine is. It's like, no, nobody has. But Kenny's Kenny's getting hundreds of calls about stuff. So,
hey,
props to him.
Let's get a win tonight and just keep the mojo going. How great would that? I mean, like, we're saying how great would beating Chattanooga would be. Like, it would actually be pretty fucking great for this team.
It would. Real quickly, though, before we get out of here, Home Field Apparel, sponsor of the podcast. Check them out at homefieldapparel.com. They got new bombers coming in, bomber jackets coming in every single day for new schools, including Louisville. Use our promo code Chronicle15 at checkout. It'll save you 15% off your first purchase. The best t-shirts, the coolest designs, the softest hoodies, the best joggers, the best bomber jackets. Home Field Apparel has it all for you. You mentioned this. We'll talk about this really quickly, as I know you got to get back on the road. Louisville, Chattanooga tonight at 7 o'clock inside the KFC Yum Center. Friday night tilt. The Mocs are a good program. They've been really good the last couple of years. They have a second-year head coach in Dan Earl. Lamont Paris left after they went to the NCAA tournament to coach at South Carolina. They had a little bit of a down season last year, still made it to their conference championship game. They've only played one game so far this year. It was against a, I think, Division III school in Covenant, and they won by 45. KenPom has this as a 7-point Louisville victory. I think the spread is right around 7. Dan, are we sitting at 2-0 in year two of the Kenny Payne era after tonight?
Oh my God. I mean, the this dream. Is the, I was going to say, this is like the biggest shot in the dark here. I've known, I mean, you know, honestly, I don't know much about Chattanooga. Like, you know what? I don't want to kill the vibes here. The way we played defensively, I just cannot see us pulling out a win here. I'm going to go Chattanooga 79, Card 76.
Oh God. I can't believe you actually did that.
I'm sorry. I got to be
post glow game day, Pod.
I'm sorry. Like, what do you want me to do? Lie about what I saw the other night?
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, I apologize. I'm an honest man and a Grim Reaper.
I think we're going to win. You really are the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
I think we're going to win. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but I think that, I mean, the defense can't be any worse than it was against UMBC. I'm going to say the Cards win by about the number. I think it's dicey. I'm going to say 82-77 is the final score. We're sitting at 2-0, going into a revenge game against Bellarmine next week, which feels very awkward to say. But 2-0 is 2-0. Let's get there. Let's enjoy the weekend. Let's root for chaos across the college football playoff landscape. Again, I know we're not talking about it now. 24 hours, come back to me when TCU's beating Texas, and you're going to start getting excited. I promise you that. Whew. 9-1, Dan. 6-1 in the ACC. The Jeff Brohm era has been everything we want it to be. I didn't mean that for that to rhyme, but it did. He also has surpassed both of our predicted win totals. Remember, you had us going 7-5. I had us going 8-4. We both look like fucking idiots, and I've never felt happier to look like an idiot. It's great.
No, 100%. Yep. Soak it in, guys. I mean, this is just this is Camelot, so we'll take it as we go.
All right. We'll obviously have a new podcast next week to react to everything going on in the basketball world and to look ahead to next weekend's game against Miami. Until we talk to you guys again, go Cards. Beat Chattanooga. Enjoy the bye week.
Go Cards.